start to begin this service by singing number 186. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thee, O God, my cry. Let thy salvation come to me and lift me up on high. Number 186, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. First, ready to you the law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guilty that taketh his name in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Further, we read to you from God's holy word, the epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the first epistle, the second chapter. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made to all men, before kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adore themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broiled hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but with the commonest of women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the men, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, he shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. This part. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. O Lord, it has pleased thee in thy long suffering, in thy mercy, and in thy loving kindness, to spare us in the week that lays behind us, where so many other ones again were cut off out of the land of living, and for whom it became eternity. Confirm to them where the tree falls, there he shall lay, in the north or in the south. Thou hast shown thy majesty, thy power in the week that lay behind us too, and to realize for men that we are nothing, that we can do not one step if the Lord not gives us that opportunity. In ice and snow and rain, thou hast shown thy almighty power. that it may please the Lord that all those things, also in the realm of nature, that we take to heart, and that it brings us to the right place to bow before thee in dust and ashes, in our totally nothingness before thee, but that it also may please thee, divert and testimony, to open it in this Sabbath day in our midst, and in all the different churches, over the length and over the breadth of the earth, also amongst the heathens, and that use nation and mission fields, that is seeded, that it brings forth fruit to everlasting glory and salvation. And also amongst us, for young and old, for great and small, what shall be placed before him in this morning and in this Sabbath day, also in catechizing and instructing, that it break our heart in pieces, where we have blocked up all the ways in paradise, but that there is a way revealed in Christ Jesus, in that only Savior, in that Mediator, in that Redeemer, in that Substitute, in that Daysman, in that Prophet, Priest, and King, to be reconciled with God, and to receive that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, let that be the important thing for each and every one, also for our coming and rising generation, and for our children, that it was bound upon all of our hearts, and that the Holy Spirit in this Sabbath day make room for thy word and testimony, and that it was unforgettable for this one and for that one. There is no worthiness in men at all. We are forfeited least to the right of thy blessings, the least of the blessings of the Lord, but few us in Christ, in him, who had obtained and merited everything that we have lost in our covenant at Adam. Apply it to our heart, and that it bears fruit. Also for thy people amongst us, that the joy of the Lord be the strength of their heart, and that they also in this morning hour and in this Sabbath day receive some tokens of thy love and of thy favor in their heart. There is nothing too wonderful for thee. Bind us at thy throne, that we receive grace to store on thy mercy seat for all that we need to the honor of thy name and to our soul's welfare and salvation. And that thy people delivered out of the bands and out of captivity, and in the freedom of the gospel was placed in this day, and that our soul was brought in a banquet house, and that the love of God was a banner over us. Strengthen all thy servants over the length and breadth of the earth. Increase the numbers, and that it may please thee to build thy church, given also elders, also in our midst, to serve the congregation with talents and with grace, receive from thee. The sick and afflicted, remember them in mercy. In the different hospitals, we commend them all at the throne of grace. Thou knowest each and every one, also him who was brought back from the hospital and now in bereavement on account of the loss of one of his brothers. There is an appointed time to be born, an appointed time to die. Prepare us together for thy great name's sake. And may thy word precious to our heart, also for widows, orphans and widows, for the boys in the service, where that they are, protect them and comfort them. Remember all those that rule over us in the alarming times in which we are living. Supply them with send of want, also in the congregation and in the families. Bind us at thy throne for everything. And give us the tokens of thy love and of thy favor also in preaching thy word. Strengthen us bodily also in this morning and in this day. And spiritually, that we receive the Holy Spirit richly and abundantly in our heart, and that we end it in the God of all grace with all the blessing bestowed upon us. Those that return to their homes, give them an heart to acknowledge thee, that thy hand has spared and protected, made everything well also in this day, and that thy word have dominion in our heart, and that we together realize that the devil be ashamed, and thy name receive all the praise and honor and glory, and that our soul are builded upon that only foundation, Jesus Christ, and him crucified with the pardoning of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 3. Wherefore do the nations rave and the people vainly dream? Number 3. congregation, I ask this moment your attention for the sixth Lord's Day, questions 16 and 17. Why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin, and one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Why must he in one person be also very God, that he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life? This far. We have heard the last time that in the fifth Lord's Day, the possibility of deliverance is revealed. In other words, in the sixth Lord's Day, or in the fifth Lord's Day, is a way opened by a mediator who is able to deliver a sinner. But of course, in that Lord's Day is not everything revealed. How God's justice is appeased, and by whom salvation is obtained, that is all concealed there. That is not revealed there. And that is something, congregation, that we have always to realize, and what you see also in the life of God's people. You know, we have mentioned that so many times already. The Lord, he is free and is sovereign. And the Lord can in one day give us everything. There is nothing in that respect too wonderful for him. But now God's common way, that is to reveal one day something, another day something else. You see that in the life of Jacob and with Isaac, with Abraham. The Lord knows his time, and he is not coming and revealing himself in our time, but he is coming when it is a time appointed by him. Now, in the sixth Lord's Day, you have the same thing. That speaks about the mediator. But before that our catechism come to the revealing of Christ, then he first instruct us about the qualities and the necessities that must be found in a mediator. Thus, in other words, the Lord prepared his people for the opening of Christ in the heart and in the soul. And it is for each and every one, well, necessarily to realize and to give an account of it for ourselves, in what way that the Lord had revealed Christ unto us. We first of all need the revelation of that mediator in regard to what is required from him. There are, of course, three things that we have to consider this morning, and that is, in the first place, why that he must be a very and a righteous man. And then in the second place, why that he must be through God. And then in the third place, that those both natures must be united in one person. Why must he be very man and also perfect righteous? And then the answer that is again, because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. In the fifth Lord's Day, it is explained already that no angel and also no animal was able to become our mediator. An angel had well a soul, but an angel had no body. And an animal had well a body, but no soul. That is one of the reasons, of course, that an angel or an animal, that he ever can deliver us. One of the reasons. And we have always to place on the foreground that man had sinned. And of course in the creation was man standing above all the creatures. The creation of men is above angels and animals. Man in his creation had something from heaven, and he had something from earth. His soul directly comes from the Lord. His body is coming forth out of the dust. This man in his creation is related to heaven, but also related to this world. And now man had sinned, in his human nature. He had sinned in soul and in body. Eve, with his hand, she took the forbidden fruit. With her soul, she had considered what he and she was doing. It was not so that men had eaten of that forbidden fruit without giving himself an account of it, what he really was doing. No, he had done it with full consciousness. Therefore, is it necessary that men with full consciousness come to the knowledge of sin. And that he in his life is there present, where the Holy Spirit reproves them and convinces them of right of sin, of righteousness and judgment. This, in other words, that is nothing that goes outside of men, but that is all worked out in our own heart. And then our eyes are opened for the full responsibility what we have done. That is the reason, congregation, that in the conviction of a sinner, that there comes a heavy burden laying upon such a soul. A blessing that is not staying. A blessing that there come moments that the Lord reveal himself. A blessing that the Lord is speaking to the people. A blessing that he opened for the people the gospel. But of course, and now I have to say something about that too, that is in the first conviction of a sinner, temporary. We cannot, in other words, we cannot keep that. And it is well an opening that people receive. And there is also a joy in their heart for the moment that the Lord that opening gives. We can say that with freedom and with liberty, people. The Lord is not for his people in desert and in wilderness, but he gives his people refreshing. One more than the other, but the Lord gave him an opening in his word and in his testimony. But as soon as that goes away for the people, then they are standing on their own feet. And then they are realizing that God's justice is not satisfied, then they are realizing that the sins and the iniquities, they are still there. You know, there is a difference between the covering of our sins and the taking away of our sins. And now every time when the Lord comes over in the heart of the people with his love, then they have no trouble with their sin. They bothered them not for that moment on account that the love of God that fills their heart and that love that gives in joy in the soul. This, in other words, congregation, If you have spirit in your life received from the Lord, then it is not always the same insight. No. It is not always the same. There are moments that they are so down. Sometimes so down, even that the sun shall never go up in their heart and life. But there are other moments when the Lord speaks to them, when the Lord reveals himself unto them, then the joy of the Lord is the strength of their heart. And that love of God in the soul that is accompanied with a quietness. With a quietness. Then the waves do nothing. No. The waves are doing nothing. At the moment that the Lord comes in their heart and that he speaks to the soul. But of course, I shall take the word this morning, solution. With the opening that people received, with the upholding strength that the Lord sometimes gives to them, it came not to a solution. It came not to a solution. And then when it becomes dark again, they are afraid. They are afraid. And then they say, Lord, if now soon that angel of death shall come and cut me off, I don't know. I don't know. Then the people that can look in such a dark corner for themselves. Therefore, congregation, the necessity for a mediator comes more and more on the foreground. A mediator who had power and who had authority to do it. Because they find out that salvation is in no other than only in Christ. Salvation is also not in the frames and in the experiences. And I say again to you this morning, those frames and experiences, they can be precious. They can be sweet to the soul. But it is no ground for eternity. And let I say it in this way, then the young people can understand it better too. That people that is sinking deeper and deeper away for himself in that pit of impossibility. Because with all that the Lord reveals to that people, we become not richer, but we become poorer in ourselves. And by times, farther and farther off from it. And now, of course, in the catechism here, why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? We need a mediator who has a soul and a body. That's first. And in the second place, we need a mediator who was all so perfectly righteous. And now, not the Father and not the Holy Spirit,
But the second person in the Holy Trinity, he assumed our human nature out of the Virgin Mary. He assumed out of her our human nature. And Christ was born in the same manner that everybody is born in the world. You know, with an Anabaptist, we have always a struggle. We do not accept what Manu Simons had taught to his people, namely, that Christ brought his human nature with him out of heaven. If that was true, congregation, if that was true, then he never could be our mediator. He never could be our high priest. Because in Hebrews 5, there you read about the high priest in the Old Testament, it must be a man that was taken out of men. Christ is mentioned in the Word of God as a seed of the woman. He is mentioned as a seed of David. He is also mentioned as the Redeemer, the compassionate high priest. And if it now is true that Christ had taken his human nature out of heaven, then he had stand beside our human nature. I hope that you can realize a little what that means. If Christ had taken that human nature out of heaven,
then he never could bear our iniquities. He never could go in to what God's people experienced here in their life. With whom can we talk the best in our life? With whom? With whom? With a person that understands us. I shall give you this morning a little and very simple example. Years ago when I was young, then we have a ministry someplace in our church, and that man that was called, as it happened time and again, of course, for to do a funeral with one of his members. And then he go to that place, to that farm where that funeral was be held. And the first word that he said to that man was, "I have still my wife, and I am called to bear it your wife now. There's the only thing what I can do today that is to talk over it, but I cannot talk out of it." Never experienced the loss of a wife. That is now a simple example what I give you. And that is now in the whole life that covered now the whole life of God's people. You think about strife. You think about trouble. You think about disappointments. You think about so many things that come up in our daily life. And what do we now need? A
person to whom that we can talk, that we are realizing in talking with that person that he knows what we are talking about, and that he is able to help us, that he is able to advise us, that he is able to support us, to succor us, and to give us comfort in our heart and in our soul. That Christ had a body, that's clear enough. Christ was eating, drinking, he slept. All that a man had in his daily life, that was also in the life of Christ. He was weary. He was disappointed, not discouraged, for that is sin. But well were the times that he was sighing. You read that in John 8, and in Luke, and in John 11, and the cemetery by Lazarus. There are different places where we find that. And that he had a soul, you read that in Isaiah 53. You read it also in Matthew 20, verse 28. That he had given his soul as a ransom for many. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And now the necessity that Christ was a man with soul and a body, because that soul and body, that human nature that must be delivered, that must be brought back into communion with God. Here, in the first principles, but later on, coming in that country where no inhabitant would say, I am sick, because the people that is there, that shall have forgiveness of all their iniquities. And true men, that was, must Christ be. In human nature, soul and body. And not only that, but he must also be perfectly righteous. Because a person that self had sinned, they cannot pay for other ones. And of course, if now Christ was no more as a perfectly man, then he never could be our mediator too. Because the punishment that the Lord has laid upon men, that is an eternal punishment. You read in John 3, that those that do not believe in the Son, they shall perish and they shall forever under the wrath of God. They never come under it, from under it. There is never any deliverance possible. We have to realize that. Therefore, the necessity that Christ had also a divine nature. Before that we now talk about that, we shall sing 234. In thee, O Lord, all grace is found. Thy people shall thy mercy know. Thy truth and goodness still about. To wrath and anger thou art slow. 234, the stanzas 3 and 4.
There are several things, congregation, that we have to consider in this moment in regard to the divine nature of Christ. Because the burden of God's arrest that is eternal, there comes never an end to that. We start when we come in the world already, because then we lay under the wrath of God. So we travel through this world, and if there never in our life stands up a mediator who takes it over for us, then it is an eternal condemnation. Eternal. You see that in that example of that rich man and that poor Lazarus. Even a drop of water was to his relief, was not granted unto him. There can never an end to that. Christ, when he came in the world, in the 43 years that he suffered, then he sustained that the wrath of God. He brought the wrath of God to a very end. That means when he cried out on Calvary, it is finished. Then he did that in that full consciousness that the Father was satisfied and that the church would be saved. And of course, Christ had to take away the curse of the law. That was also eternal. Christ had also to obey the Lord, the law, by his active and passive obedience. And now in all the ways that you see in the life of Christ, then the divine nature that had always undergirded him, that had always strengthened him, that had given him always courage and comfort. In John 11, then Christ, he said, Father, I know that you hear me always. And that was because we are the objects of God's wrath. But not Christ, no. He was and he remains the Son of God. And Christ had experienced that while he was here in this world, especially in obtaining that spiritual life, destroying the power of death. And now Christ adds something that Adam in the state of righteousness was lacking. Adam was well created perfectly, but Adam could never make a dead sinner alive. He could never restore to a sinner spiritual life. That was for Adam impossible. When he had obeyed the Lord, the Father, and his God, then for himself he had received the establishing of life. And for his whole
human race, because he was, that human race was comprehended in that one person in Adam. You read about one sin in Romans 8, and you read also about one obedience. And now Christ, as the Son of God, he merited salvation. He satisfied his Father, but also he applied that salvation to all his people. And then you see the difference, congregation, between this and the creation of the world. When the Lord created the world, there was no objection, no obstacles, never. The Lord, he said, there is light and there was light. He created in 6 days everything. But now, in this way, it is all enmity that is against. Therefore, one of the names of Christ is the Almighty God. And now the same power necessary to obtain salvation, the same power was necessary to apply that salvation. To give that salvation to us. To prepare us for that salvation, and that we may share in that salvation. The Lord, he comes in the life of his people, and you read in Psalm 110, that people that is willing in the day of God's power. You know that salve in your family. You can talk to your boy, you can talk to your daughter, you can try to persuade them about the only way necessary to know to salvation, but you know what the outcome is. Festus, he said, to Felix, he said, if I have a convenient time, then I shall call you, and I shall listen to you. Came that time for that man ever? No. That time that came never. That time that came for me and for you, never. No. Never. Why? Oh, that is easy enough to understand that people, because we have no desire in the ways of the Lord. Everything is against us. We are under the power and the dominion of the devil. And now Christ, he is the only one who can deliver us from the wrath to come and restore us into communion and fellowship with God. Therefore, that mediator must, in one person, be also very God, that he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. This, it is not only that we escape the wrath of God, but that we also be restored in that sweet communion with God. That we receive in our life that peace that passes all understanding. That there comes a rest in our heart, and a peace in our soul. There are four things I shall mention to you this morning, brief.
There are four things in the life of that people, and that is all the result of that divine nature of the mediator. The result of the divine nature of the mediator. First, that we receive peace with God. That's first. In the second place, that we receive peace with the Father. That we receive the spirit of adoption, that we can cry, Abba Father. That we receive also peace with our lot. That means with what the Lord has laid before us to go through in our life. That He made us satisfied. That we are grieved with all the ways that the Lord has with us. Jacob, he had a time in his life. He said, all these things are against me. All the things. And it had it not taken a month and a year before that he was behind it and that he could take it. No. 70 years. 70 years. Hard time for that man. Can I realize? And now there would never come in our heart and life and time that we have peace with God and peace with the Father and with all the circumstances of our life if Christ had not a divine nature to inherit that in our heart and in our soul. But now there is something else, and that is this. That now that Christ in one person be also very God. I tell you this, told you this morning already, that Christ, He took upon Him our human nature, not in human person. We have to realize that. Because if He had took upon Him in human person, then finally you had two persons together there. One that was God and one who is man. But now He assumed our human nature. And now that human nature and the divine nature that is now united in one person. Of course, that is something, congregation, we have to say to you, we have no mind that we can understand that. No. That is impossible for men. And that is what you read by the prophet Jeremiah, that the Lord declared there that He shall create something new on earth. Something new. And that is the uniting of the human nature and the divine nature. And now all that Christ had done as a second person in the Trinity, that come on His account as the Son of God. He did it, all the work, in His human nature. But it is applied to His divine nature, and therefore it has such an eternal value for a soul. That last point, that is of course a mystery. We have only one mediator.
And if you now ask, who is he? Then the answer that is always a second person. If you ask, what is he? Then the answer must always be God and man. And now that union that is unmixed, each nature retains its own properties. The human nature of Christ became never any present. No. Christ in his human nature was bound to one place. And his human nature that keeps the properties and the virtues that he had, but that was also with the divine nature. But now, in the few words that we have heard this morning, is explained, congregation, the qualities of the mediator. And now that person, the Son of God, with a human nature and divine nature, he is the only one that can deliver us from the wrath of God and that can bring us back into communion with God. I shall stop for this morning. It is not so late as otherwise, but I am feeling not so good this morning. And I hope that I can come back this afternoon and evening again, but I have a little flu. And if we now learn for ourselves, people, the necessity of such a mediator and such a savior. And then I will mention to you this morning one thing, and that is this, that it personally become for us an impossibility to be reconciled with God. Without hope, people. And to that point, it had to come in our life. Impossible. You see that in all the saints, in the Old and in the New Testament, they all came to an end in their life. And if now God's people, and that is, and I will mention that this morning, as a comfort of God's children, as soon as it comes to an end with us, then there is a beginning by the Lord and in the Lord. And then he shall never leave and he shall never forsake the work of his own hand. We have to be, we must be saved in a way that all hope and expectation at the side of men is gone. As long as there is something that we cleave on, then Christ shall not be revealed. No. And you read in the Word of God, and that is such a striking example that man that was born blind, you know that, in John 9, Christ had done that miracle to that man. He talked about that miracle. He keep on to talking about that man, still he don't know who Christ was. And then those Pharisees, they became so mad and so evil to him
They put them outside of the synagogue, out of the temple. And while he was standing there alone, oh woman, men, boy, girl, you have to become alone in the world. Alone. And if you are alone in the world, that there is nothing to cleave on, to lean on. If everything is gone, then Christ shall pour out soul, all and in all. And then he shall reveal himself in the greatness of his person, and in the richness of his grace, for his dear children. Oh, then it shall be in joy and in gladness, as that we never have known in our hearts, that we find that mediator, God and men in one person. And the most of the thing, the important thing that this people, that he had satisfied his father, and that he also delivered his children. They saw no one save Jesus. Let that be in our heart and in our life the same, young and old, that the Lord prepare us for the way of salvation, for that mediator and surety of the church. The time is there to fall before him. The time is there to ask him, Son of David, have mercy with me. Tomorrow it can be too late, people. Tomorrow it can be too late, and then too late forever. And go now to your house with the word of God out of Proverbs 8, who findeth me, findeth life, and obtain mercy from the Lord. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony for all of us. We were prepared to bring it to an end. Oh, give us strength also in this afternoon and in this evening to explain thy precious word. Look upon us in mercy from on high. Remember the whole congregation. Also the janitor and his wife who are in the east now. Where his brother, after suffering for so many years, is taken away out of this world. Remember and strengthen that family, and look upon them in the bereavement, and that all those ways be sanctified to our hearts, and that we may learn to die before death is coming, with the pardoning of our sins for Christ's sake only. Amen. Verse 66. Praise awaits in Zion, Lord, for thee and what follows. Thank you.
this morning for Mr. Neil Holloman, whose brother died yesterday. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.